Hi, Judge. I'll take roll for the group.
All right, Jesse, thank you.
Thank you. Judge Conklin?
I'm present.
Ms. Fleming?
I'm here.
Judge Getty? Judge Fannin?
Present.
Judge Gabe?
Here.
Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Lark?
Here.
Judge Merrifield? Judge Merrifield indicated she would be absent today. Judge Reinhardt?
Here.
Judge Sachs?
Here.
Judge Siebert? Ms. Cameron? Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Kim? Mr. Landry? Mr. Landry indicated he'd be absent today. Ms. Levere?
Here.
Mr. Riley? Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Yamasaki?
Good afternoon, present.
Good afternoon. Mr. John Wardlaw?
Yes, good afternoon.
Mr. Theodorovich? He indicated to be absent today. Judge Callum Carrion?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, Jesse, thank you very much for taking roll. We have a quorum. So a couple things, just procedural before we get started. I'm going to ask for a motion to approve the minutes from the May 25th meeting. They're included in your materials at page 3. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
Judge Sachs will move.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Rule second.
Moved and seconded. Any opposition to the motion to approve the minutes from the May 25th, 2023 TICMAC meeting? And hearing none, I'll deem those minutes approved unanimously. Jesse, I assume there's no public comment received for today's meeting?
No public comment received.
Great. So we're going to go a little bit out of order, folks. I think it's appropriate just to sort of set the tone for the meeting. We've got John with us. Zlatko is out of location for a while for this week, but John is more than welcome at our meetings. I think you've all seen the email going out about John's pending bonus points for retirement. I'm sure everybody wishes him well. He'll be sorely missed. And we have the privilege of starting off today with a budget update from John. And John, thanks for stepping up.
Okay, thank you, Judge Conklin and committee members for giving me a few minutes to go over the budget. As you know, the governor passed the budget back on June 27th. It continues a historic budget for the judiciary. There are no operational reductions in the budget, which is really quite a testament to the branch in that our credibility with the legislature and with the administration is in a really good shape, and it's in very large part due to this body relative to prioritizing the needs of the judiciary and really speaking with one voice that is clear on what the needs are to serve the people of California. And so you guys are the ones that prioritize the budget concepts and the BCPs that gives the Judicial Council the ability to have that clear voice with the legislature and with the governor. And this budget has resulted in a net increase of over $426 million in new funds coming into the branch. The legislature and the governor fully supported the inflationary adjustment that we so dearly needed. You see the backfill for declining fines and fees, penalty revenues are there. We've got the additional resources to implement the new laws that the legislature has passed. And you'll recall there were times where legislature would pass bills and there was no funding that came with it. That seems to have turned in the last few years. And we've gotten additional support in the way of money to support those laws. There's new CARE Act funding included, and as well as the branch facility. So on all fronts, a very good budget for the branch. Our budget now is over $5.2 billion, and I think we're in a very good place. What it means as a from a workload standpoint, our budget is just under 95% funded based on our workload formula, which is great, especially given a budget climate where the governor and the legislature were looking at a $31.5 billion hole in this year. As you know, that hole is expected to get bigger next year by another $10 billion or so, and then the following year, another $10 billion above that. And so to come out with a budget that actually grows the branch is a testament to the confidence that the legislature and the governor have in this branch. So great news there. I will add one note of caution that the administration has shared in that with the IRS's decision to extend the 2023 tax deadline to October, and California's subsequent conformity with that extension, this budget assumes that another $42 billion will be coming in to the state general fund by the October timeframe. If those projections are inaccurate or fall short, I would expect that the governor and the legislature will have to do some level of balancing again. And so we may, if you see the revenues not coming in as expected, some additional need for reduction throughout the state. We're going to be watching on a monthly basis the revenues coming in, and to the extent that we're seeing that a pattern's developing that we're not seeing it, we will definitely need to be talking with the courts to just be prepared in the event that additional measures are necessary. I don't have any indication that at this point that those revenues aren't coming in, but it's something we need to carefully track because if there were mid-year adjustments, we need to be prepared for them. Overall, again, a very, very good budget we're starting the year with. The Judicial Council, as you know, will be meeting later in July for the first round of allocations that you guys and TICBAC have prepared the council well for the annual major distribution of funds in July and then again in September. So great news all the way around on the budget front, and happy to answer any questions for you.
So how'd you do it? I mean, John, candidly, we owe a lot of credit to you and your team. Obviously, I know it's a group effort from top to bottom, and you've shared with us both in this meeting and in others. But what were some of the? I mean, and let me just add to it. I think transparency and diplomacy really paid off. But you helped us understand. I think one major thing was those pots of money that we had that were not essentially necessary were beneficial in staving off the governor from making those cuts. Is that something, I mean, you accomplished that, right?
Well, I think strategy-wise, it was a good move for the branch to reach out early in the process as we were seeing that the revenues were not coming in and the hole was growing. Since January, as we were going month to month to month, you know, we knocked on the administration's door and said, you know, we might be helpful to you in some of the areas in which we could, you know, funds that we can no longer utilize that are sitting there that can help. And so I think the administration appreciated our reach out on that front. That was, I believe, helpful. And I think we collectively, as we have harmonized our voice statewide on the judiciary needs, has really, really helped. And that came from the trial courts as we've had a partnership in defining those needs and speaking with in a harmonized way has really helped the legislature and the governor to have a clear understanding of how they can help the branch. And so every year is a different budget strategy. This one, whenever there are down times, the best thing you can do is kind of look inward and see if you can be helpful. And I think that that has helped our the outcome here. Thank you, yep. Judge.
Well done. You bet. Any other comments or questions for John? Besides our heartfelt congratulations and thanks.
Thank you,
Judge. Which that and a dime will get you a cup of coffee, maybe. But anyways, John, I know thanks sometimes seem hollow, but I hope you know that thanks from every member of this committee is sincere for all the work you've done, the guidance you provided, and me and others that you've been able to corral and guide. It's much appreciated.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Much appreciated.
You bet. All right. So now that we've got that budget sort of preview, we'll move to the next items. I will say, folks, there's some work to come. And I'll cover this a little bit when we talk about our FMS work plan. But John has done and his team, such a nice job of putting us on a path for future endeavors and perhaps strategies that will prove effective for us that we'll detail at a later time. But with that, we'll move to our first action item, which is the allocation methodologies related to both SB 154 and 101, which in general, just to overgeneralize, these are relatively small amount of funds, but it's something we have to always cover when we have backfills coming in for funds that have been cut. And so those backfill funds that come in, we have to allocate them pursuant to methodologies. That's what we're going to do for these relatively, as I said, small amounts of money. So with that, I'll turn to Oksana so she can preview this for us. Oksana?
Yes. Hi. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oksana Tak, and I am a senior analyst with Budget Services. Item one on
today's I'm sorry, Oksana. You just faded. If you could, maybe it's me fading, but if you could just speak or get a little closer to your mic, that'd be great.
Sure. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Is it better?
Sure.
My name is Oksana Tak. I am a senior analyst with Budget Services. Item one on today's agenda for your consideration is allocation methodologies for Senate Bill SB 154 and SB 101, backfill funding for the trial courts. To provide some background, SB 154, the 2022 Budget Act, included up to $18 million in funding to backfill trial courts for revenue loss resulting from Assembly Bill AB 199. AB 199 expands eligibility for civil filing fee waivers by increasing the poverty threshold from 125% to 200% to qualify for automatic waivers on various filing fees. The Judicial Council Budget Services staff, in consultation with Department of Finance, determined the estimated backfill need for revenue loss due to AB 199 is approximately $1.6 million, as other backfills are in place. Of this amount, $689,000 is designated for the trial courts. The SB 154 allocation methodology considers total revenue collected from the trial courts from year 2017-18 through the 21-22, and provides a proportional backfill for each of the trial courts in 22-23 and ongoing. This proposed allocation schedule can be found on column F, attachment A, on page 8 of the materials. The second methodology is related to backfill funding included in SB 101, which is the 2023 Budget Act, recently signed by the governor. SB 101 includes $826,000 to backfill trial courts for certain criminal fees eliminated pursuant to AB 134, which is the 2324 Public Safety Trail Bill. AB 134 proposes to repeal criminal administrative fees related to a change of plea all set aside verdict and record sealing. SB 101 allocation methodology was also developed in consultation with Department of Finance. It considers total revenue collected from year 1617 through 2021, as reported by the trial courts, and uses a five-year average to proportionally backfill the trial courts in 23-24 and ongoing. This proposed allocation schedule can be found in column H of attachment B on page 9. The Funding Methodology Subcommittee recommendation for your consideration is to approve the backfill allocation methodologies for SB 154 and SB 101 as outlined on page 7 of the materials. That concludes our presentation, and Judicial Council staff are on the call to assist in answering any questions.
Oksana, thank you so much for a typically thorough and excellent presentation. Much appreciated. So folks, the recommendations are set forth at page 7, and just summarizing what Oksana just told us, as beneficial as these fee waivers are to the public and to access to justice, it results in a decrease in funding for us. And so that's what these backfills accomplish. These allocation methodologies are just presented to you to get that money out to the courts. And we're open to any questions anybody might have or motions.
Judge Conklin, I would be happy to move approval of the recommendations reflected on page 7 of the materials.
David, thank you so much. Is there a second to that?
This is Judges.
Oh, go ahead.
Ms. Kelly, I would second.
All right. Moved and seconded the recommendations 1 and 2 at page 7 of the materials be approved. Now that it's moved and seconded, it's open for final discussion. Any additional questions or discussions? And doesn't appear to be. So I'll call for a vote as we typically do. Is there any opposition to the motion to approve, opposition or abstention to the motion to approve the recommendations at page 7? And hearing none, the recommendations of page 7 are unanimously approved. Thank you all very much, Oksana and team, for those recommendations. That gets us to the FMS work plan, and I know you all know what it means, but that's the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, one of our three very productive subcommittees, along with the Fiscal Planning Subcommittee and the Revenue and Expenditure Subcommittee. Funding methodology in general does what we just did. They come up with recommendations for methodologies for funds that we have coming into our branch and how those are allocated branch-wide. I chair that committee along with Chad Finke. Candidly, like my co-chair Rebecca on the main committee, they do the bulk of the work and I present it to you. So Chad, I thank you and everybody else on the committee for the work done. You have before you today our annual work plan for the upcoming year, and Rose is going to summarize that for us. It's set forth in the materials, but Rose, I'll turn to you for that presentation.
Great. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rose Lane, and I'm a senior analyst with Budget Services. So this item is to consider a recommendation from the Funding Methodology Subcommittee, or FMS, to update the annual work plan for fiscal year 23-24 and beyond. So on an annual basis, the FMS reevaluates the work plan to guide its efforts to develop and refine the workload formula, as well as other methodologies, including self-help, interpretive funding, and methodologies for new funding for approval by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. The current work plan, as approved in July of 2022, is provided as attachment 2A on page 10 of your materials. The FMS met on April 20th to review each of the items on the current work plan to determine what updates to be put forth for your consideration today. The FMS recommends removing items 1, 4, and 5 from the work plan. Item 1 relates to Judicial Council provided services. The FMS reevaluated this item and determined this analysis was no longer needed due to the status of trial court funding levels. Item 4 relates to base floor funding. This item was addressed by the council when it approved an ongoing inflationary adjustment for the base funding floor courts, consistent with the increase provided to all other courts beginning in July of 2023. And then item 5 is to evaluate the workload formula adjustment request process, or ARP for short, submission that was received in January of 2022. This item was addressed as the Judicial Council approved the ARP request at its May 2023 business meeting. 2 items are recommended to move into fiscal year 23-24, and these include item 2, which is the development of the ongoing methodology for court interpreter program funding, and item 3, which is the reevaluation of the cluster system to be addressed by the new Data Analytics Advisory Committee. The FMS voted to retain item 6 on the work plan as is. This will continue to provide the base funding floor courts with a method to request funding augmentations as needed to support court operations. And then lastly, the FMS voted to add item 7 to the work plan, which is an annual review of any workload formula ARP submission received, which is consistent with council policy. The proposed work plan for 23-24 for your consideration and approval today is provided as attachment 2C on page 16 of your materials. So this concludes our presentation. Budget Services is happy to answer any questions the committee may have.
Rose, thanks so much. So I think Rose's presentation and the recommendations exemplify the work done by FMS and the accomplishments. Candidly, it's been a very productive subcommittee. No thanks to me, but thanks to the members on that committee, especially the court executive officers who really get down in the weeds about these thorny issues and the presentations they make to us. And we're moving forward. We've got some tasks ahead of us in 23-24. We're going to be confronting perhaps some sea change issues in our methodologies and our funding that John's helped us understand, and we'll continue to we'll deal with those. But just to cut to the quick, those recommendations are set forth at page 12. If there's any questions or concerns about any of the recommendations for the work plan, Judge Getty, I'm sorry.
Yeah, good. Thank you. I wanted to circle back, and I will candidly say that I'm a little bit at a disadvantage because I'm a newer member to this committee. And I know that we have discussed this before, the number one, the identifying and evaluating the impact of Judicial Council provided services versus those that are funded by local trial court operations funds. And I spoke with some folks that were previously on this committee. I understand that the impetus behind that topic was really to try to better assess equity in terms of the access to resources between smaller courts. You know, I know that this is a big topic for the Judicial Council, ensuring equity. Larger courts may have internal resources that smaller courts don't have, and they may have to go out to the Judicial Council. I think it was a little bit about trying to measure, like, what are things that larger courts are able to access that smaller courts are not. And I hesitate for us to just delete that one, because I think the entire purpose of it was to give us another tool, because we're still continuing to persist in the topic of equity has not been, you know, resolved yet. So I do think that it was a piece of data gathering so that we could compare apples to apples and not apples to oranges. It may be, and Mr. Yamasaki would know better than I would, because I think he's on the Data Analytics Committee, that the Data Analytics Committee is already going to look at these data topics about what items are provided at the local level versus secured from the Judicial Council, so that we can do a better comparison when we're trying to equitably fund courts of what are people actually doing. Hopefully that makes some sense. So I would defer to the folks that were there when this was identified as a desirable topic, but that was what I was, it was explained to me. And so I do think there's a need for that data, that equitable information, whether it comes through this committee or we secure that through the data analytics committee. But, you know, in order to achieve that other goal, which is not just day-to-day methodology, but our progress towards equity, I think we need some of this information.
Okay, I don't know, David or Rebecca, if you want to add anything to that. I just, in generalization, and this might not be a satisfactory answer, Judge Getty, to your response, but the time taken to evaluate those services was almost enveloped the services themselves. I mean, it was a lot of work and a lot of time spent to establish whether or not those services were needed and beneficial versus the work provided. Chad, I see your hand up. Did you want to supplement that or clarify it?
Yeah, thanks, Judge. I think you kind of hit on it, Judge Conklin, which is that it seems like every time we sort of tried to dig into this, it became difficult to figure out what exactly to measure and how to measure it. And so by way of example, I think one example that got thrown around was like legal opinions and legal services, right? And how exactly do you measure, a big court that spends money on an in-house general counsel and therefore can do a certain amount of legal work in-house versus the value of legal opinions that a smaller court might have to get from the JCC? You know, like how do you even measure that in such a way as to, determine, you know, should the larger court get some kind of a credit in its allocation because, you know, it's spending money on a service that a smaller court might be getting for quote unquote free from the JCC. So I think Judge Getty makes a good point, but I think we all struggled over the years in actual practice of how to do this in a meaningful way.
David, did you have a comment?
Yes, I thank you very much, Judge. And Judge Getty, one of the subtle differences in part of the description that was provided was trying to equalize how some courts can sustain services outside of the Judicial Council. And I think there are two variables. One was something that Chad just mentioned, and that is why is there equity in a court having to pay for a service that perhaps other courts may be receiving from the Judicial Council? And, you know, it's very easy to recognize the benefit of turning to the Judicial Council, particularly in labor negotiations, to use one of the very able attorneys there to help them negotiate labor contracts locally. Some courts end up retaining outside negotiators for that purpose. So the question is it equitable if one court goes out and provides retained services and another court is turning to the Judicial Council to provide that service? So there was an interest in looking at the equity issues surrounding that. Should courts turning to the JCC end up having to contribute monetarily? And another variable is payroll. Some courts rely on SAP to provide some of the payroll services at a local court, and some courts end up having to pay local counties to process payroll. So that was another equity issue that may have been an initial impetus for the additional interest. But the other thing also is that the fund condition historically in the trial court trust fund was challenging. And that was one of the areas that was, I think, considered in the past to see if to strengthen the fiscal stability of the trust funds, whether it would be a good plan to perhaps figure courts that rely on those services to offset whatever deficits that may have existed. So I think that the time is a little bit different right now, and for the couple of reasons. One is the fund condition. I think courts are now doing much better, as John had suggested, than we were in the past. And that may be one of the reasons, certainly, that have affected my thinking about whether that should be continue to remain on this work plan. And of course, I know that Data Analytics Advisory Committee is going to continue to take a look at The cluster question that I think that you were alluding to and figuring out what a base level of funding would be as well. So it's not necessarily unimportant, but I think the focus may have changed with the creation of the new advisory committee and some of the other variables that have really been reflected in the budgets that we're seeing right now. So a lot of words, I know, but certainly not unimportant, the points that you had made, but just wanted to provide a little bit of background on why some of the recommendations were crafted in the way that they were.
Any other questions or concerns about the recommendations at page 12? And Judge Getty, did we address your concern?
I think that addresses my immediate issue. You know, the equity issue has been an ongoing topic, and I don't want us to lose sight of us needing to do that important work, and whether that measurements are taken by the data analytics committee or whether done on through this mode, I don't really care. I just would like to have some measurements or some methodology so that we can do our important work of making sure that we're making good funding decisions for the courts. Because we haven't quite achieved the equity yet, and we've recently run the gauntlet on that at our last meeting, and we still need to keep working on it. So that's my point, but I'm happy for us as long as we keep it on the work list. I don't know, maybe we need to revise that and say, you know, have some kind of liaison to the data analytics committee to identify, you know, criteria that we would like to see so that we can make great equitable decisions about funding for any new funds. I don't think it's going to be a big worry for this next year because I don't think we're going to get any new funds, but I defer to that committee. I just want to make sure that it's still on everyone's radar.
Yeah, good point. FMS isn't going anywhere. So yeah, I mean, they'll continue, obviously, I think, as they always do, to keep an eye on that issue. Any other thoughts or concerns? Any motion?
I'd be happy to move approval of the recommendations reflected on page 16 of the materials, if I am making the appropriate reference.
You are. Okay. It's page 12 of 16, recommendations A through D.
Ah, thank you.
Is there a second?
This is Judge Kelly. Sorry.
I'll defer to Judge Kelly.
No, Ms. Fleming, please, the floor is yours.
I'll second that motion.
Right. Moved and seconded, the recommendations as set forth be approved. And Judge Getty, I think your concern is a valid one, and I want to assure you that as the chair of FMS and most of those FMS members on this meeting, equity is always at the forefront. So, you're right. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion concerning the recommendations at page 12 of your material? Is there any opposition or I just lost the word to the motion at page 12 of the materials? All right. Abstention was the word I was looking for, but I hear no opposition or abstention to the recommendation. So with that, I'll deem those recommendations unanimously approved. Thanks so much, everybody. So our third item on the agenda was our first item. So we covered that. That's the budget from John. We've worked through those other two items. Rose or Jesse, have I left anything out?
Nope, that would be everything, Judge. Just the next take-back meeting being on September 14th, 2023 is all.
Great. And many of these items will be presented to the council at their meeting in 2 weeks. There's a substantial likelihood I won't be able to make that meeting, but Rebecca and I have already been working together. And if I'm not there, Rebecca will be presenting to the council. As John said, these are extremely important decisions about the funds coming in, but they're so far and well vetted throughout the year that typically as they get to the council, there's not a lot of controversy. I hope I'm not changing the course of things for the meeting in 2 weeks, but I'm hopeful that they move through as proposed. And I would welcome and note Judge Mormon's with us. Judge Mormon's here for JBBC and always a welcome face at our meetings and welcome guidance as well.
Thank you.
So with that, I wish everybody well. Judge Larch, as always, thanks for the decoration of the back of your chambers. And my parting note, as always, even though it hasn't worked this season, so I probably shouldn't be saying it, but I will. Go Dodgers. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.